let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's being called The Saga for the Ages. The highly acclaimed new book, The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and baseball's most historic record by best-selling author John Eisenberg. The fascinating story of baseball's most legendary Ironmen, who achieved the coveted and sometimes confounding record of most consecutive games played, September 6, 1995. Cal Ripken broke Major League Baseball's consecutive game record, which had been held by the legendary Lou Gehrig, 2,131 games. The Streak examines one of baseball's most venerated records and what it all means. John spent two decades as an award-winning sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun. Before that, 5 years with the Dallas Times-Herald. He's the author of that first season, The 10-Gallon War, Cotton Bowl Days, Native Dancer, The Longest Yard, The Great Match Race, From 33rd Street to the Camden Yards, and My Guy Barbaro. He writes daily about sports in Baltimore at BaltimoreRavens.com. And along the way, over 3,000 columns for publications like Smithsonian, Sports Illustrated, and Details. He's won more than 20 major awards, including several first places in the prestigious Associated Press Sports Editors Contest. John Eisenberg, author of The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and baseball's most historic record, with us on This Week in America. John, I've been looking forward to this. Thank you for being with us on the program.
It is my pleasure. I'm really pleased to be on with you.
This is an excellent book, and you're quick to point out this really isn't a biographical project, is it? This is really about the history of baseball, and the main character is the record.
Well, that is true. What I started out with, my original thought, was that, as you mentioned, I've been in the Baltimore sports media for many years. I had a front row seat for Cal Ripken's career and saw all of his touchstone moments, including the night when he caught and passed Lou Gehrig. And here we are 20 years later. I thought it would be interesting to compare those streaks now that we're two decades removed from that. Really sit down and compare the two guys in the streets, one of the probably the greatest night of sports history that I ever witnessed. But as soon as I got into this project, I realized that, yes, there was another character in this book that needed to be addressed and almost dwarfed them all, and that was the record itself of playing in consecutive games in a row, the Ironman record. There's just no other record like it in sports, I think. It's so curious is the word I have to use. Because when you think about it, you don't have to hit home runs, you don't have to do anything great, steal bases in a high number, get a bunch of hits, strike out batters. You don't have to do anything except show up and play. And you could even play badly, but as long as you play night after night, week after week, year after year, you end up setting this record.
Yeah, as long as you're in the game, it counted.
As long as you're in the game, it counts. So, you know, my thought was, as a result of this record, I felt like, you know, I needed to go back and study this. Where did this curious record come from? Who was the first person that thought it was a great idea to play in all these games in a row? And more importantly, is it a good idea to play in all these games in a row? And if it's such a hallowed achievement, why is no one trying to do it in baseball anymore today? Because that is the case. It's just gone two decades since Cal Ripken did this. So that was a job that took, really, as you mentioned, it took the entire history of baseball. So I had to go back and study this, and it wound up taking me over 4 years to finish this book. So it was quite the task, but well worth it in the end.
It's thoroughly researched. That's what's fascinating as you're reading all of these stories to go back to the early days of baseball. And it's interesting, we tend to forget, we look at the record and we hold Ripken in esteem. We forget it was met with some criticism during the time, because during this period, a lot of people said he's hurting his team by not taking some time off. He wasn't a real young player at this point in time.
That's right. It's, again, another reason why it's such a curious record. Can you think of another one where, while you're doing it, people, there's always applause. It's a great achievement. People respect it. But there's always an undercurrent of people saying, why? Why are you playing in every game? And are you hurting your team? And are you being selfish? So certainly Gehrig heard it. That was my research I discovered. You know who ripped him? Babe Ruth.
He called him crazy.
He called him crazy. What are you doing, man? You're not going to get paid to do that. And certainly Ripken heard that a lot. So you open yourself up to that. And so as a result, I interviewed as many of his teammates and managers and coaches and things and try to address that whole saga of, you know, would it have been better for him to take a day off at some point? That's one of the things I addressed. Is it a good idea for a ball player to take a day off now and then?
John Eisenberg, our guest on This Week in America. The book is called The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and Baseball's Most Historic Record. Book is available all across the country. Click on directly to John's information and information on the book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You call it truly a common man's record. Is that why that really resonated? I mean, I recall back in 1995, what Ripken did, that transcended sports, didn't it? He became a political figure as well. People were saying, yeah, that's the American work ethic at its finest.
Yes, and the reason being is that a fan, a baseball fan, a sports fan, cannot hit a home run 450 feet like Aaron Judge the other night in the home run derby, cannot throw a fastball 98 miles an hour and strike out people, cannot steal a base, do all these things that causes to cheer so much. However, a fan can get up and go to work every day. And that is really what Ripken and Gehrig did. And what was interesting was to find out that that is really how Ripken approached it. Not so much as an elite ball player, you know, sort of above the crowd a little bit, thinking he was so great. It was very much a blue-collar, workmanlike ethic. The Orioles trainer, Richie Bansells, who has worked with Cal, actually is still the Baltimore Orioles trainer, told me that Cal, he got this from his dad. His dad was a minor league coach for half a century and really instilled in Cal that work ethic. And he came to feel like, this is what Richie Bansells told me, said it was almost like he was a welder going to work every day, or a trainer taping ankles every day. Somebody that just has a job. And that was how Cal approached it. And it seems amazing to people. I cannot believe it that Cal Ripken, in the middle of this firestorm, said, what is the big deal about this? But for much of the time of his streak, that is how he thought it. I mean, other people go to work every day. Why are they making such a big deal out of me going to work every day?
You know, to put all of this in perspective, the streak started May 30th, 1982, culminated September 9th, 19th, in 1998. I throw that out there, 2,632 games. Talk about, and you break it down in the book, how many seasons this is. It's uncommon now for a player to go through an entire season without taking a day off. How many seasons did Ripken play to get to this record?
Well, 15 full seasons.
Amazing.
And parts of two others. So, and that is the all-time record. And by that, I mean, you know, playing an entire season of 162 games without taking one off. The Lou Gehrig ranks second in that statistic, 13 seasons without taking a day off. And what's interesting is third place in those rankings is someone who is not considered an Ironman, but he simply had injuries at the wrong time to keep him from building a streak of consecutive games. But he played just an enormous amount. He played 10 seasons without missing a day off, and that is Pete Rose, who is sort of the unknown Iron Man in the saga of the Iron Man story. So just because he didn't have a long streak, and that's how we quantify Iron Man, but he did play. He played more games than any player in baseball history. He's the all-time games played record holder, and he was quite an Iron Man himself.
Third on the list, that's amazing. I followed his career and did not know that. The book we're talking about is The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and Baseball's Most Historic Record. John Eisenberg, our guest on the program, book available all across the country. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's go back and talk about some of the early Iron Men. It goes back to, I believe, the first one you really talk about in the book is a guy by the name of Joe Horning. Now, if the name's not familiar, that's because this was back in, 1882 when this guy was playing.
Yes, I mean, people did start to. I mean, there were hardy ball players who played every day, and the season wasn't even that long. I mean, we are in the early days of baseball when they're still figuring out that it's four balls and three strikes. I mean, they're tinkering with that, so it's pretty early on. But yes, Joe Horning played, was an outfielder, and a couple of other guys played, and the first one who really achieved any sort of status. I mean, he didn't really achieve status, but the first one who really had a long streak was a fellow by the name of George Pinckney, who was a third baseman for the Brooklyn team. This is before they were the Dodgers. They weren't even known as the Dodgers. They were the Bridegrooms, the Brooklyn Bridegrooms. You should look that up. That's because several of the players got married in the offseason, so they called them the Bridegrooms. So George Pinckney played 578 straight games and did some of it without a glove. They were still playing without a glove, though. But he was the first guy to set the record, to hold a record. It was 578 in a row.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about a guy, I think it was the 1930s, Gus Suhr. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, S-H-U-R. Here's a guy, and this was sort of a dubious distinction, wasn't it? He found a way to play, but not necessarily play every day.
Yes, well, that is a key part of this book, and one part that I really enjoyed reporting on, is once consecutive game streak became something to attain, you know, the ball players began shooting for it, they began sort of circumventing the rules a little bit as much as they could, and it doesn't take away from the fact that these were good ball players who wanted to be available every day, but they did find ways to sort of skirt things a little bit. They would play just a half inning of defense, or they would pinch hit in the ninth inning to say that they played. The actual language that constitutes what a game appearance is did not appear in the Major League rulebook until 1973. So until then, you could, as long as you were on the field for whatever a pitch, you could go out there and play and be counted. And yes, Gus Suhr, he set the National League record. And there was a period of almost 2 weeks where he didn't play a complete game. He didn't start a game. He barely played in a game. I don't think he even batted, but he was he would make an appearance on the field and keep his streak going. And those kind of, for lack of a better term, I'll call them shenanigans, for lack of a better term, that continued into the 40s, into the 50s, even into the 60s, until they set the language that entered the rule book, and there was sort of no more jimmying with the rules.
And his record was broken by Stan Musial, and he had his own little shenanigan at one point. To talk about, he was uncomfortable with what his manager did. Talk about that, because he didn't play a game, and he still got credit.
Yeah, that to me, that's the ultimate shenanigan. Stan Musial broke Lester's record, and he did it before he broke the record. He was getting close, and he extended his record one night in Pittsburgh without ever setting foot on the field. He was injured and had a sore hand, and his manager with the Cardinals went to the umpires several hours before the game and said, look, if I put Stan in the lineup and then pinch hit for him in the top of the first inning or whenever he first comes to bat, will that count as a game played? And the umpire said, yes, it will. So, again, there's no oversight really from the league at this point, and it's just pretty much do what you want. And if the umpire said yes, well, he was the man, right? So, sure enough, that night before Stan Musial came up in the top of the first inning, he was pinch hit for. So he never played in the game. However, he did appear in the lineup card. So the league said, all right, that counts as a game played. We will allow this. And he went on to set the National League record. He did admit when he set it that I can't remember what he said exactly. He kind of had a sheepish grin and was like, well, I may have fudged a little bit at one point along the line. But so he did admit that. And his record wound up standing for a while, more than a decade.
The book is called The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and baseball's most historic record. John Eisenberg, the author, our guest on This Week in America. I learned so much in reading your book about Lou Gehrig. Basically, my knowledge of him, I didn't fully understand at the time, was movies. And sometimes it's true, sometimes they make things up because it is, in fact, the movie. Talk about the fun that had to be in researching Lou Gehrig and really finding out who this guy was.
Well, yes, I mean, he has been written about, there was a wonderful biography, a little over a decade ago, Pride, Luckiest Man by Jonathan Eigas, that there are people that have gone before me, and I certainly relied some on their research. I also went to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, where there's every ball player that's ever played. There's a manila folder for him with clippings and things, and every major league ball player I'm talking about, so lots of manila folders. And there's tons of stuff on Gehrig, including his wife's scrapbooks. So so you can just go through that and find all sorts of stuff. And I certainly, what I came away with, the Garrick story, I think it's gotten lost in history's mists a little bit, that he, you know, because of the demise, his tragic demise, and the fact that the illness that claimed him is now named for him, a couple of things get lost. Number one is that he was just an incredible ball player. I mean, one of the greatest hitters of all time, the career leader in Grand Slams until just a few years ago when Alex Rodriguez passed him. So a 340 career hitter, fantastic baseball player. And the other thing is, I have to say this, it's been decades now, and we take for granted, you know, there was a great movie about him and all this. Reading in real-time accounts of when he fell ill and then had to stop playing and then ultimately died within 2 years, it's just the saddest thing you'll ever read in your life. It was so sad. This guy, the peak of his powers, the nice guy, the Iron Man, suddenly just a fallen hero. It'll bring you to tears reading the reactions of people sort of coming to grips with this. And I really was taken by that in researching the story, how sad it really was that Lou Gehrig went through what he went through.
In the book, The Streak, you talk with Cal Ripken. In fact, you say the cooperation, his cooperation really added to the quality of the book, to the knowledge that we get out of reading the book. And he talks about the fact that he wasn't necessarily driven by the record. It was the fact that he just wanted to play every day. And he still says that to this day.
Yes, Cal's cooperation was great. I covered him when I was at the Baltimore Sun. And yes, he was kind of interested in going back two decades later. Of course, he's now known as the Iron Man. I went into this project trying to understand his motivations, because he was accused at times of saying, you know, because he always said, I never intended to set this record, and it was just a function of my philosophy towards baseball, which is that if you're available and the manager wants you out there, you play. And it so happened that my managers wanted me out there. Well, I do think it's true that, I mean, at some point this became, his number got so big and his streak became so historic and important that you know, I'm sure it meant a lot to him. But I did come away from this project understanding that, indeed, that philosophy is really the bedrock of it. You have to understand, really, the entirety of Cal's career. I mean, it came from his father, what I talked about before, that blue-collar ethic. And when he was in the minor leagues, before he even got to Major League Baseball, he played in his last 258 straight minor league games. So he that was just how he approached it. And then when he got with the Baltimore Orioles, very quickly went on a streak of consecutive innings played, almost more than 8,000, more than 5 years. No one had done that. Actually, the last person to do that was George Pinckney with the Brooklyn in the 19th century.
Yes.
So, yes, that is his philosophy. He wants to be out. He wanted to be out there and play every day. And, I do think that the record came as a growth of that rather than the other way around.
Let's talk about that special night. You alluded to that before, that you were there September 6th of 1995 when he breaks the record. The president's there, the vice president is there, and there was sort of this spontaneous buildup of emotion in the stadium. What, he had to take an unrehearsed, unthought-out, ahead-of-time lap around the stadium to try to get people to quiet down so they could finish the game.
Yeah, it was. They went through, of course, a great moment in sports history, and the Orioles and Cal had gone to a lot of lengths to sort of prepare some nice pre- and post-game ceremonies and make it a memorable evening, but they didn't prepare the one thing that everybody remembers. And that is that the crowd, once the game was official and he had the record, the crowd was just cheering so loud and so long and just wouldn't stop that his teammates basically just pushed him out on the field and said, look, will you go shake their hand or something? Maybe they'll stop. We're never going to finish this game. So it was the middle of the fifth inning. So Cal starts shaking a few hands. He starts going down the first base line, shaking hands. And the crescendo is just incredible. And it becomes, he just keeps going. That's the only way I can say he kept going, and he wound up circling the entire field. This is something you'll never see in a ball game again. I can guarantee you that. A 22-minute delay with the one player just circling the field, shaking hands with the fans. And that is what he did, and it was just such an incredible reaction from the people, and totally organic. There was no planning for that, nothing. It just happened, and that's what made it so great. And, you know, I've had people since this book came out say, you know, I had to look that up on YouTube. I've never seen anything like that.
Yes.
And, you know, it really is true. An amazing and unique moment.
Well, you feel like you're there as you're reading that in the streak. Here's Ripken doing something he really doesn't want to do. The last thing he wants to do is go out and interrupt the game. It's against everything he ever stood for. And Bobby Bonilla is saying basically, hey, dude, get out there or we're never going to get this game finished.
Yeah, we got to get home here, pal.
Yes.
I mean, this game is going to go on. In recreating that night, I was determined. It's such a touchstone moment. I talked to some new voices. I wanted to make a fresh turn at this thing if I was going to do it, a fresh pass at it. So I talked to a policeman who was on the field. I talked to a fan who was in the stands, tried to shake hands with him, different perspectives. I talked to some of the people in the visiting dugout. You know, the Angels were that umpire, Al Clark, who was on the field, and just different voices, people I hadn't heard before. And, you know, to me, that's how I looked at it. I know I talked to a lot of people that night. I wanted to talk to some people I hadn't talked to before, and it was very interesting.
You end the book, The Streak, talking about 20 years later, Baltimore's got this big celebration. Cal Ripken, of course, is going to be there, hops on his bicycle on the way to the stadium. And he has an accident, and he hurts himself. That's talk about irony. That it's still hard to put all that in perspective.
Yeah. You couldn't make it up if you tried. That, the night they're celebrating his 20th anniversary, he falls off his bike and tears his rotator cuff. Serious injury that definitely would have ended the streak that they were commemorating that night. He went ahead and got dressed and went to the ballpark, and they had him throw out the first pitch. It's the 20th anniversary of the night he passed Gehrig, and he wanders out about halfway to the mound. He had told his former teammate, Brady Anderson, who was there to catch the pitch, he says, "Dude, I hurt my arm. I can't throw the ball. I'm going to go out about 30 feet and lobby a throw." And so Brady was the only one who was in on it. Everyone who was there that night was like, why is Cal standing so close to the plate and throwing that first pitch? But that was the explanation. He fell off his bike earlier in the day, wound up having surgery, as he said, painful and funny at the same time.
You know, and you point out at that point in time, the longest streak among active players in the major leagues, Manny Machado, a member of Baltimore, 132 games. At that point, the guy's only 2,500 games short of breaking the record.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's something I've been tracking as I work on this book. Where is the active streak? Where is it? Because, as I said, no one is trying to do this anymore. And the current active Major League consecutive game holder, the longest one, is 259 games right now. He's a shortstop. Alcides Escobar plays shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. 259 games. So he's... I don't know, my math isn't very good, but it's almost 2,400 shy of Cal's record. And I think the odds of him getting close are extremely small. I just don't think we're going to see Alcides Escobar or anybody get very close to this record.
A minute or so left in the program. One of the major themes is how the game and the attitudes in the game among the players have changed over the years. Talk a little bit about that, and there's really not an emphasis, obviously, on the streak anymore, is there?
No, there isn't, and I don't take that. I don't say that to mean that the work ethic is not there anymore.
Right,
that's
right.
Not fair. I don't think that's fair. I think there are still players with tremendous desire that probably would be out there every day if they could be, but the attitude of the within the game has changed. It's just not valued anymore. Teams want players to take a day off now and then, and they're just gonna do that regardless of anything. I mean, there's a lot of statistical evidence that shows that maybe it's a good idea. There's much better sports medicine, so they know when you're hurt and have a better understanding of that. And, you know, a big salaried player, if he's touch and go to play, they're gonna rest him to protect that investment. So there's all these reasons now for guys to sit now and then And you just, it has just changed. It's much, baseball's much more scientific than it was. Cal played on philosophy. It's much, you can't quantify it, and it almost seems outdated and quaint already. It hadn't even been gone that long. But that's why I think that record will stand forever.
It is a fascinating book by John Eisenberg, our guest on the program. It's called The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and Baseball's Most Historic Record. Book is available wherever books are sold all across the country. You can link on to John's website and get information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. John, thank you so much for being with us on the program. An excellent book. Loved having you on the program. Thank you.
My pleasure. Enjoy being with you.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.